Now we're reading tonight in Mark's Gospel in chapter number 7, Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, and we'll just break into the chapter at verse number 5. Then the Pharisees and the scribes, that was the religious leaders of the day, they asked him, they asked the Lord Jesus, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but they eat bread with unwashing hands?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honours me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things.'" Just down to verse number 14. "And when Jesus had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, 'Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man, that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear.' And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable, and he said unto them, 'Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entering into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats.' And he said, 'That which cometh out of the man, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, and adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, and covetousness, and wickedness, and deceit, and lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and defile the man.'" Strong words. But they're not mine. They're the words of the Lord Jesus. The most gracious, most tender man that ever lived. And yet it was from his tender lips there came these strong words. I want to speak tonight about the heart. I want us to get to the heart of the matter. I'm sure you've heard that expression many, many times in the course of life. That certain sets of circumstances have arisen, and there's differences of opinion, and there's one side and there's another side, and someone says, "Let's get to the heart of the matter. Let's get to the root of the matter." That's what we want to do tonight. We want to get to the heart of the matter. You see, the Lord Jesus is confronted with certain individuals. And they come to the Lord Jesus with all their questions. Always looking for an opportunity to trip him up, to catch him out, to criticize him, to condemn him. And the Lord Jesus Christ was always in his guard when these religious hypocrites were all around him. And they come to the Lord Jesus and they say, "Look, why don't your disciples do what the religious people do? Why don't they follow all the religious ordinances in the temple and the synagogues? Well, why do they even eat meat without washing their hands?" And the Lord Jesus speaks to these people. And he says, "You know," he says, "your prophet Isaiah was right when he said that you're a people that honour me with your lips. But your heart is far from me." When Matthew was recounting this incident, he said these words, "You're a people who draw near me with your lips. But your heart is far from me." Where's your heart today? Where's your heart today? How's your heart today? You see, there are many folks today, and they've drawn near to Christ with their lips. And there's a sense in which we've all done that, as we've lifted his precious name in our songs. And as we've bowed our heads in his presence, we've drawn near to Christ with our lips. What about our heart? What about our heart? It's easy to say words, isn't it?
It's easy to say prayers. It's easy to sing songs. It's easy to sing hymns. It's easy to sing psalms.
It's even easy to engage in a form of worship. It's easy to engage in religious ordinances and services and ceremonies. It's easy to do all that. To draw near the Lord Jesus, to honour Him with our lips.
And yet for our hearts, for our hearts, to be far from that. How's your heart doing? Where's your heart doing? Is your heart entwined round the heart of Christ? Have you one with Him?
Is He the one that you've come to know and trust as your personal Saviour and Lord? Has the Lord Jesus become everything in your life? Has He been the one that's cleansed you from your sin and reconciled you to God?
Or I wonder, time, is all your religion and all your singing and all your praying and all your attendance and meeting, is it all just a case of drawing near Him with your lips? And in reality, your heart. Your heart's back. You see, it's a serious thing just to ponder tonight. But God knows our hearts.
Indeed, the psalmist tells us that He knows the secrets of the heart.
You see, we can fool each other, can't we? And maybe you've been fooling people for years. Maybe the people in your Cumnock think you're a good, self-righteous, pleasant individual and God-fearing, but my friend, maybe God sees something else then. Because we read in the Bible these words, that man looks in the outward appearance, but God looks in the heart. I think we're in the presence of God. God's no too so much concerned about what we're wearing tonight.
He's neither concerned about our outward dress, nor the outward show of respectability and self-righteousness and religion that we portray to others. God's not interested. He sees through that.
God sees into our hearts. God tries our hearts. That's a solemn thing, isn't it? You see, it is easy to put on a show, isn't it? It is easy to act a hypocrite.
It is easy to leave on a Sunday morning and put our Bible in our handbag and walk down to the church. It is easy to leave our home and come to the gospel meeting. It is easy to talk about being a member of a church or a member of a religious organisation, and it's easy to play the part in relation to these things. And men are impressed. And others compliment us. And some pat us in the back. But God
sees the heart. I wonder, could the Lord be saying to some soul in the meeting tonight, saying it with tenderness, you're drawing near me with your lips tonight. But your heart. My friend, the Lord's looking for your heart. It's all a matter of the heart.
He's looking for you to come to Him with a total and absolute commitment to give your all to Him, to give your heart, your life, your all to Him.
Not just to put on a show of respectability.
Not just to cover yourself in the garb of religion.
But my friend, He wants you to yield your all to Him, to give your heart. See, my friend, God's standards are far greater than our standards and man's standards. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to a group of hypocrites when He was here, and we read about it in Luke's Gospel, and He says, ye are they that justify yourselves before men, but God knows the heart. And He says, that which is highly esteemed amongst men is abomination in the sight of God.
Do you realize that your self-righteousness is an abomination in God's sight? You see, you're changing your preaching a wee bit. Because maybe you've been sitting in here and night's been passed and the message was just been past your ear and you thought, well, it's addressed to all these drug addicts that are coming in. Well, my friend, maybe the message is just getting hold of your heart tonight, because I want to tell you the need of the self-respecting religionist is just the same as the need of the drug addict. God knows the heart. God knows the heart. God knows your heart. And people in the community may look up to you and might respect you. God said, that which is respected and that which is esteemed amongst men is just an abomination. Do you know what God said through the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament? He says, all our righteousnesses are just as filthy rags. Filthy, moth-eating rags. That's what our righteousnesses are like. That's the best that we can offer God. God says, I can't accept it. It's filthy. My friend, God knows not only what we profess to be then. God knows what we are. You see, we can't fool God today. We can't play games with God. We can't pretend with God. We can play games with each other. And we can deceive each other. And we can make a whole pretense and pretend and profess to be something that we know in our hearts that we're not. But we can't fool God. God knows. We read at the end of John chapter 2 that the Lord Jesus knew all men. And he needed not that any should testify of men, because he knew what was in man. He knows. He knows. I don't know today. God knows. He knows what's in you. He knows what's in your heart today. He knows that which lies right at the very deep of your innermost being. He knows you through and through. He knows all the secrets of your heart. Everything. Did he see where you go on a Sunday? He sees where you've been on the Saturday. And he sees how you live through those. He sees how you act out in the public before men. He sees how you act in the private. In the quietness and the seclusion of your own home. I think God knows everything. He knows the very secrets of our heart. He knows the thoughts of our heart and the intents of our heart. Doesn't he only know what we're thinking? He knows when we're thinking it. And he knows it before we think it. Oh my friend, there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. God knows everything. The secrets of the heart, it's all made manifest. And the Lord knows what's in man. He knows what's in you doing. It's interesting, at the commencement of the very next chapter in John's Gospel, there's a man appears before the Lord Jesus. And the Lord knew what was in him. And he said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You know, if the people of the city had been listening, they would have been amazed. Nicodemus, the teacher in Israel. Right at the very top of the religious ladder. A man that Sabbath by Sabbath would hold the scriptures in his hand and he would preach to the people. Setting himself forth as the very epitome of spiritual excellence and self-righteousness. And he comes before the Lord Jesus. And the Lord knew what was in him. He says, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. The Lord knows what's in your heart tonight. And he says, listen, you need to be born again. You need to be born again. Your religion's no good enough for me. Your self-righteousness, your respectable, it's no good enough for me. It's no good enough for heaven. Because unless a man is born again, he'll never see the kingdom of God. He'll never see heaven. You need to be born again. You tell me, honey, Have you been born again? Now, I'm not asking you about your religion. I'm not asking whether your name's in a church roll. I'm not asking if you're faithful at your church. My friend, I'm not interested in that tonight. I'm asking if you've been born again, because that's what God's interested in, and that's what God knows. You see, how can I be born again? That was the question that Nicodemus asked. He says, how can a man be born again? Can he enter into his mother's womb and be born a second time? The Lord said, that which is born of the flesh is just flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. What the Lord Jesus was talking about was a spiritual birth. A birth that takes us into the family of God. My friend, a person is brought into the family of God. A person is born again when they receive the Lord Jesus. To as many as received Him, to them were given the authority, the right, the privilege to become the children of God, even to those that believe on His name. There's no works there. There's no acts of merit there. There's no religion. It's receiving Christ and believing in His name. Born again. You've been born again. I'm not asking if you've been baptized. I'm not asking if you've been christened. Then I'm asking if you've been born of the Spirit of God. Have you been born from above? Have you received new life by receiving the Lord Jesus, the great source of life and the essence of life? For as many as received Him, to them were given the authority to become the children of God. My friend, the Lord knows the hearts. He knows what's in you. And He said, listen, you must be born again. You must be born again. But the Lord not only knows the secrets of the heart, the Lord knows the sinfulness of the heart. That's what He really speaks about in that second little passage that we mentioned, didn't we? At the second part of Mark 7. You see, as far as these religious Pharisees were concerned, these hypocrites were concerned, they were interested in the externals and the washing of the externals and what goes into a man. And the Lord says, listen, what goes into a man can never be failed. Because it just passes out in its natural way. He says, it's not what goes in that defiles, it's what comes out that defiles. It's what comes out of a man's heart that defiles him. What does come out of a man's heart? Do you really want me to read it again, Gary? Because the Lord's talking about your heart. He's talking about mine. The Lord Jesus wasn't speaking these words in the local prison. He wasn't speaking these words as He visited the local doss house. The Lord's speaking to the religious men of His day. The ordinary people of the day. And He says, listen, He says, from within. From within, out of the heart of me. Out of the heart of man there proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and they defile. My friend, they come from within you. You see, the propensity, the possibility of committing every one of these sins is within your heart tonight. Don't forget it. What does Jeremiah say? What does God say through Jeremiah? He says, the heart of man is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Do you know yourself tonight? You don't. Do you know your own heart tonight that God says you don't know it? Here's what God's saying about all our hearts tonight, about my heart. The heart of man is deceitful.
fraudulent. It's crooked. It's perverted. And it certainly can't be trusted. Would you ever trust somebody that was deceitful?
If someone proved themselves to be a liar and a deceiver, would you trust them?
My friend, you would watch their every action. You would weigh up their every word. You would assess everything they did and everything they said because you knew that person. My friend, that's what you need to do over your heart there. The heart of man is deceived. My friend, if we're deceitful right at the very core of our being, it means that we're deceitful in every aspect of our being. How can we ever trust ourselves? We can't trust ourselves. Because we're deceivers. We've got a deceitful heart. We've got a deceitful nature. My friend, there's only one that we can trust in. There's only one that we can rely on. It's the blessed Christ of God. You know, the sad thing is there are folks here tonight and they're trusting in themselves.
The Bible speaks about those that trusted in themselves that they were righteous.
Maybe you're trusting in yourself today. You're trusting in yourself to get to heaven. Trusting in what you're doing. Trusting in what you are. My friend, don't trust the deceiver.
Don't entrust your life and your eternity to that which deceives.
The Lord Jesus says, I'm the truth. And a man came to the Lord Jesus and says, Lord, Master, I know that you're true and you speak as the word of God in truth. You see, everything about Christ is transparent, it's open, it's upright, it's righteous, it's honest. It's dependable, it's reliable. My friend, if you're trusting in yourself and in your efforts and your works to get to heaven, my friend, you're in shaky ground tonight, you're in sinking sand tonight. My friend, you'll need to start standing on the rock, the solid rock, Christ Jesus. You'll need to trust in Him. He's the only one that can meet your need as a sinner and set you for heaven. The heart of man is deceitful. Jeremiah says, it's deceitful above all things. He says, there's nothing more deceitful than the human heart.
And he says, it's desperately wicked. It's incurably wicked. That's the word. Incurably wicked.
There's no cure for that spiritual disease that has ravaged the heart of mankind. There's no cure for it. Well, there's no cure among men. But there's a cure from heaven. There's a cure from heaven. God is able to cure the great spiritual disease that is rampant in the human breast. Praise God. God's got a cure for your heart.
God's got a cure for heart disease tonight. And you'll no need the doctor at the front of the hall, or any other doctor, or Christian Barnard, or any of these guys.
My friend, the one that can cure that deceitful heart of yours and give you a new heart, a clean heart, is the Lord Jesus. Because the Bible speaks not only about the secrets of the heart and the sinfulness of the heart, the Bible speaks about the cleansing of the heart, the cleansing of the heart. Think of the cry, the heart cry of the psalmist David in Psalm number 51. He says, create, O God, create in me a clean heart. I wonder, is that your cry? Maybe you're thinking I've been hard on you. Maybe you're sitting there and you say, well, I'll never be back in here. My friend, what I've said to you tonight, I trust I've said it with a measure of tenderness and a measure of love for you. You see, my friend, if I just told you what you wanted to hear tonight, then I wouldn't be faithful to you, and I certainly wouldn't be faithful to God. But I've only told you what God has already said in His Word.
I've only brought you before you God's truth and God's assessment of you. And my friend, I've brought it before you not to condemn you, but to show you that there's a way out and there's a possibility of change. Mighty and I have brought before you the deceitfulness and the sinfulness and the desperate wickedness of your heart in order that you might come to that point when you cry out to God, oh God, create in me a clean heart. You see, David had been confronted with the awfulness of his sin. He didn't like it. God sent a prophet right into his very throne room. With a personal encounter with God through the prophet. Just in a moment, the sinfulness and the wickedness of his heart was revealed. And he said, oh God, create in me a clean heart. I trust that through this simple preacher tonight, that you might have had an encounter with God. And that was in your heart might just have been revealed to you tonight. In all its awfulness and all its pollution. And what you're needing, my friend, to get rid of that evil nature, that sin that's in your heart, it's not any outward form of religion that you need. It's not any external ceremonies that you need. My friend, it's the cleansing of the precious, precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission for sins, there can be no forgiveness, there can be no cleansing for sins apart from blood shed. Lord Jesus on that cross, the sinless, spotless Saviour, he shed his blood that your sins might be cleansed, that your heart might be washed anew, that you might have a clean heart, yea, a new heart before God. A heart in which there dwells righteousness. A righteousness impacted by God in the person of his Son. Oh, my friend, I wonder as God shows you just your true condition. As God revealed your innermost being to you tonight, that your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, that out of your heart there flows, there proceeds those evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications and pride and foolishness and so on. It's out of your heart. God knows it. God sees it. God is repelled by it. But he still loves you. And he just waits to pour into your soul, into your heart, the cleansing power of the precious blood. God says to you, if you confess your sin, if you confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses from all sin. How's your heart then? How's your heart? Is it still deceitful? Is it still desperately wicked? Is there still flowing out of it this catalogue of sins and corruption? But I wonder, my friend, has your heart been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb? My friend, what can wash away your stain? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Praise God, the blood of the Lord Jesus, that blood shed in Calvary, has lost nothing of its power. And the blood of Jesus Christ can still cleanse every sinner in the room tonight. Every sinner you come up. Aye, my friend, there's enough power in the blood of Christ to cleanse every sin. My friend, every sinner's got to come. Just as David came acknowledging his sin. I've sinned against thee. Against thee only have I sinned. Create in me a clean heart. Wash me. Purge me. Make me clean. Oh, my friend, if you've felt tonight the sharp edge of God's word in your soul. If you become aware, as your sin has been exposed, if you become aware of the depravity of your heart, then God's available to you in order for you to cry to him for the cleansing power of the precious blood of the Lamb. My friend, there's nothing can cleanse you. There's nothing can make you right with God but the precious blood. Avail yourself of God's provision and the crucified Lamb of Calvary, the bleeding Lamb of dark Golgotha. Avail yourself of God's provision and come as a guilty sinner and kneel before the cross and trust the Lord Jesus and experience the cleansing power of his precious, precious blood. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our Father, we just pray that all our hearts would truly be searched tonight. We realise, oh God, that sometimes it's a painful thing just to sit under the sound of thy word and Maybe our God, some folks have been a wee bit annoyed tonight. Maybe our God, some folks have been even more than annoyed. Maybe they've even been angry. And maybe our God, they've felt themselves rising up against what's been said. Oh God, quiet them down. Help them just to realise that this is thy assessment, the divine assessment of their heart, the divine assessment of their life. And Lord God, thou just expose men's sin in order that they might be brought to repentance, in order that they might be brought to faith in the Lord Jesus and experience the cleansing power of his precious blood. Thou art a gracious God, thou art a merciful God, and we praise thee for that. Thou knowest every heart tonight. Oh God, move in thy sovereign grace and sovereign power and bring individuals in this hall tonight to that saving, to a saving experience of the Lord Jesus, as we ask it in his precious name for his glory. Amen. Now we're just going to keep our seats and sing a verse of a hymn. It's 292. We've sung it many times in the past. We'll sing it again. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Verse 3 says, just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. So we'll just remain seated and we'll sing the last verse of the hymn. 292, we'll just sing the last verse, remain seated, and after that meeting's finished. If you'd like to speak to us about anything we've said, then just feel free to do so. If you're being offended tonight, then it's not a preacher that's offended, it's God's word. Your argument is not with me, it's with God. So don't argue with me at the end of the meeting. If you've been offended, there's something that's been said, and you take that to God. Your argument's with him tonight. It's not with the preacher. Because all I've done is brought before you what God says in his word concerning me and concerning you. We'd love to see you back tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we'd love to see you back. If you're friends in the meeting, these are important issues. You might never get another opportunity. We need to get right with God. We need to get right with God. And if you want to speak to us, then I'd be quite available, quite happy to sit by your side and explain to you more and more of God's wonderful salvation in Christ. 292, just the last verse, and the meeting's finished.